again, welcome, welcome, welcome to Freedom House Church. If you're here for the first time, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. One church, multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, give God a hand clap. What's up, Irvine? So excited. And we're just so grateful. But listen, Thanksgiving service, gratitude, being grateful. And I really am thrilled to when it comes to the subject matter of gratitude. Because gratitude is one of those things that if we don't learn gratitude, then nothing you get will ever satisfy. Because I'm telling you, listen, especially for driven people in this room, let me just say this, okay? If you're a driven person in this room, in other words, you got goals. I got goals, y'all. I got goals. Got me on that grind. Okay, Mr. Grind. Okay. Listen to me, Mrs. Grind. You're always going to have a gap of what you want. You're always going to feel like there's something more. And I'm telling you that if you're waiting for a sense of blessing to come when you arrive, you never arrive. I'm telling you, because you're a driven person. Now, if you're a lazy person, this doesn't apply to you. Amen. They slept in. They're watching online. Just kidding. I'm just joking. Who says that? I love you. Welcome online. Anyway. But when you're driven, I'm going to raise my hand, okay? That you're like, man, but there's some more things I got to do. And man, I got so much more. And listen, and if I'm not careful, I get more focused on that gap that I lose my gratitude. So what we got to do is we got to take these days of reflection and say, hold on, God, thank you. Thank you that this year I didn't lose my mind. Oh, God, help me. Because, man, I'm telling you, some people almost got me. But thank you, Lord, I didn't lose my mind this year. Thank you, God, that at my lowest point this year, that you taught me some things in the valley that I couldn't learn on the mountaintop. Who am I talking to today? Thank you, God, that you sustained me. I didn't know if I was going to get through July, but here I am in November. And God, thank you, I didn't go back. I don't know who I'm talking to. You didn't go back to that drug. You didn't go back to that place. You didn't go back to who you used to be. Thank you that we fought. Thank you. Oh, God, again, I may not be where I want to be, but thank you, God, that I'm not where I used to be. And for that reason alone, I lift up my hands and I say, thank you. Somebody give God a thank you worship right now. Come on, somebody. Amen. Say amen. And so, the gap. So I'm excited to talk about today. I'm about great, like messages on gratitude. It's something we have to learn, because a lot of things will try to attack that in your life, get you dissatisfied. And I'm going to talk about, I don't get ahead of myself here, but I want to talk about today of how to stay in that place of contentment and gratitude. I want to share with you one of my most favorite passages of scripture that comes from the Apostle Paul about gratitude. So grab your Bibles as you remain standing. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 10 through verse number 13. I'm going to talk to you today about, I'll give you the title right now, A Blessed Perspective. Some will say I'm blessed. Some of you didn't want to say it. I still got that donut on my car, like 3 months. I'm not blessed, Pastor. Still couch surfing. Y'all know what couch surfing is? Good. Y'all know the struggle. Amen. I'm going to talk about this contentment, this blessed perspective. Philippians 4, verse 10. Watch how it reads here. We're going to go through verse 13. And here the Apostle Paul is going to be sharing about this contentment, but you need to know where he's writing it from, because we're about to read loses its power if we don't know the context of where it's actually being written. Paul is writing this epistle in Philippians literally in prison. He's been imprisoned, wrongly accused for living for God. Sometimes in life, you feel like wrong things happen when you're trying to do right. Come on, somebody. Here I am, God, I'm trying to live for you. You know? I paid my tithes. And a rock flew through my windshield. Come on, somebody. You're going to feel that. And you're going to be like, why should I be grateful? Let's read what Paul the Apostle writes. Come on, son. He's writing this in wrongfully accused in prison. Verse 10, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned. But you had no opportunity to show it. It's like, hey, thanks for thinking of me. Verse 11. So I'm not saying this because I am in need. Watch this now. For I have learned. Someone say learn. Says, I have learned. That's why I love this passage. Says, I've learned to be content. Now that alone is a powerful statement, but watch the next two words. Whatever the circumstance. So let's stop right there. He said, I've learned this thing to be content. Because it's not automatic. Like sometimes I can get dissatisfied, discontent. But he's like, I had to learn to be content whatever the circumstance, no matter what's going on. Verse number 12 says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to be in plenty. And it was like, I know how to be in both sides of life. I've learned this. He says, but I have learned. Now, he says, I've learned the secret of being what? Content in where? In any and what? Every situation. Whether well fed or hungry. Some of y'all know my jokes, but he's like, I learned how to be content whether I'm eating beans and rice in Jesus Christ or eating ribeye steaks. Come on, somebody. Bread and toast in the Holy Ghost. Or prime rib. Come on now, all right? He's like, I learned how to be grateful in both. Because there are different seasons you'll live in. But don't ever compare seasons. We'll talk about that in a second. He's like, I've learned this secret. I love how the Bible says secret. It's not because it's a secret that God doesn't want to share it with you, but it's a secret because these hidden gems in the Bible are for the seekers. Like they're not, these are hidden gems that are not just at the surface. You got to find these. You search them out. It's like when you find the diamonds in life, right? It says the secret of being content in every situation, whether hungry in plenty or whether being in want. Verse 13, in context, we all know verse 13. It says, I can do what? All this or all things through what? Him or Christ who gives me. Everybody loves that verse. I can do all things Christ who strengthens me. But in context, it's talking about being content. Like I can get through whatever situation because I know God's good. Because I know God has my back. Because I know I'm blessed. I know God goes before me. I know that God doesn't got my back, he has my front. Because if God is before me, who cares who's against me? I don't care if there's an ugly Goliath with bad breath. Talk to me, somebody. I don't care how many devils, how many attackers. God will shut the mouth of the lion. He will open the Red Sea. Come on, somebody. He will be in the fire with me, and I will not get burned. I will come out of this thing, come on, somebody, with God's hand on my life. I can get through whatever circumstance. Beans and rice in Jesus Christ or ribeye steaks. I can do all this through Christ. I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is A Blessed Perspective. A Blessed Perspective. Let's pray. Bow your head. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, just again, want to say thank you. Because if it had not been for you, I know where my life would be. A lot of people say, I don't know. No, I know. I'd be a mess, Lord. I may not be all together now, but Lord, I know I would be a wreck. So God, thank you again. God, teach us today this principle of learning to be content, whatever the circumstance. God, to be grateful for you, regardless of what situation I'm in, whether plenty, whether in want. And God, help us so that, Father, we may live a life not in dissatisfaction, but fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We love you, Lord. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say, amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap. Tell your neighbor, say this. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a blessing in my life. Just tell him, say, you're a blessing in my life. And then tell him, even though you get on my nerves sometimes, sit down. Even though, and they may be seated. Come on. Tell him, I said sometimes. I didn't say all the time. Say, you're a blessing. I heard you, Pastor Marie. Oh. Even though I get your nerves sometimes. I didn't say all the time. I want to talk today about, listen, a blessed perspective. A blessed perspective. Because perspective, they say life is 10% action, 90% perspective. Because if you put 90% action into the wrong perspective, you'll end up in the wrong place. Perspective is everything. It's how you view the thing. The problem is never the problem. It's how you view the problem that's the problem. And God is, the Bible is a book that is working on our perspective, a kingdom, a biblical perspective. And I love that when we come to services like this, what God is often doing is he's transforming our perspective to a kingdom perspective, the way God views it, not the way I view it. Because when I see a mountain, it looks big. When God sees the mountain, he's like, that ain't no thing. That's nothing. And that's really our perspective is, God, give me a heavenly perspective. And I want to talk about today a blessed perspective. Because God wants us to have a mentality that, God, you have blessed me and you're good. Because if the opposite transpires, what ends up happening is we will walk through life dissatisfied. We'll walk through life like God, man, you're holding out on me. Like, you know, you know, when you were handing out gifts, you just like, there's one for you and that's it. We almost feel like God is not good. But I'm going to try today, in through God's word, is to change that you're going to walk out of this service knowing that God is good. Amen. I said, God is good. Come on. And you are blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Well, it's okay. We'll see about the end of the service. Okay. I'm blessed. I don't know. If I had a boo, Lord, I'd be more blessed. It's the holidays. And you know, I don't got a boo for the holidays, Lord. So the boo means you're blessed? If you don't know what a boo is, like a boyfriend or girlfriend, I know I had to learn this stuff. I'm learning, okay? You know, if I had a boyfriend or girlfriend, Lord, like, really? You're blessed. Come on, say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And this is the posture of a believer, that regardless of the circumstance, we're blessed. That God is with us and that we're blessed. This is a mentality. And again, I love this whole thought of gratitude and blessed, because it is a place of gratitude from which we will make the right decisions in life. And it's something that has to be learned. And in the context of the verses we read, Paul the Apostle, when he's talking about gratitude, he's talking about this thing from a place where he has every reason to not be grateful. Like, every reason. He is literally, not figuratively, literally imprisoned, persecuted for doing the right things, for honoring God. And if we're all honest, we can all find ourselves in those situations where you are honoring God and you're like, but Lord, I have every reason to not be grateful. Like, it's real talk, okay? It's real talk. Like, it will come to your life at some point in your walk with God where you'll be like, Lord, I'm trying to honor you, but I feel like I have every reason to not be grateful right now. It might be a condition of your health. It might be a condition of your economic condition. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you know, with the rates going up, it affected the mortgage, the house you thought you were going to buy. Now you don't qualify. It might be, you know, something you were dreaming about. It might be a boo. You thought he was going to be your boo thing, but ain't no thing. Come on, somebody. You know, like, it can be all kinds of things. And you can find yourself, this is real talk, y'all, okay? Like, I'm sorry if it was ever painted any other way. Life is filled with these trials. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, take heart. We have Jesus that will come to the world. Come on, say amen, say amen, say amen. But you will find yourself like Paul. That's why I love these texts when it comes to Thanksgiving. Because Paul's like, there's every reason to be ungrateful. But he's like, but I know I've learned. He's like, let's read verse 12. Watch what he says. Go to verse 12. I'll just preach from the screens. I can go quicker, team, if you go with it. Verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But he says, I have learned. Someone say, learn. He's like, I learned something. I've learned the secret of what? Being content, being grateful. I'm blessed. He's like, I had to learn this thing. Because the default setting, everybody look at me, the default setting is we don't want to be grateful. Like, our kids are not born being grateful. Amen. Come on, can I get an amen, right? Them kids are like, I don't know. I mean, they were submitting Christmas lists to me last week. I'm like, what's this? You need to be submitting your chore list, what you need to be submitting, if you really want to get blessed up in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're saying, it's one for Christmas and circling, and they got, here's my, I want all the toys. I'm like, all of them? Well, you got big faith, young man, you know? It's like, them kids, you know, it's like, I'm going to start putting bows on their toothbrush, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to put a bow on their water and their faucet. Okay, sorry, all right, sorry. Their pillow, where'd I get? You get to live here, congratulations, amen. Rent-free, too. Remember that's going to be a blessing. Yeah. But I'm why? Because the default setting is not gratitude. We're always focused on what we don't have. We're focused on what I don't have, on what I need to make me happy. There's like, it always feels like it's beyond us. It feels like there's something else that I need to grab a hold of to come into my domain, and then I can finally be grateful and content. But contentment, the power of gratitude is that gratitude, watch this now, and contentment, you need nothing else in your life to be content. Let me say it again. The thing about contentment is you actually need nothing else in your life to be content. To say I need something to be content nullifies the whole meaning of content, because you will never get there. Trust me, especially this morning if you're a driven person. You will get to that place only saying, well, what's next? Yeah. Right? What's next? Yeah. And it's a rabbit chase. You never catch the rabbit. It's just you're chasing it your whole life, always dissatisfied, always like something's missing. And Paul says, I had to learn this thing. Some will say, learn it. He's like, I had to learn this thing. Like, this was something that I had to study. This was something I had to catch myself. Because if not, you're trying to get your state of blessing through more accumulation or through something else, when really our blessing and our contentment is that God, you're with me. God, you're here. God, you'll come through. Come on, somebody. God, you're good. Oh, my, I don't see that. I said, God is with us. God is here. And God wants to. So write this down. Here's your first point. Because last service, I didn't get to, it's like 45 minutes. I was like, oh, by the way, here's your first point. God bless. See you home. A blessed perspective is a choice. Write that down. A blessed perspective is a what? It's a what? It's a choice. It is a precision. What's a precision? A precision is a decision you make before it happens. Decision is too late. The word, I like etymology. Etymology is like you break down words. Decision actually comes from the word incision. It's to cut. It's a decision you're cutting. Because whenever you make a decision, you're cutting something out. You can't decide two things. That's double-mindedness. That's why some of y'all never go forward, because you're always like, well, I don't do. Yeah. Teach, pastor. I'm trying. Okay. So decision is to cut. So when you decide, you're saying, I'm cutting this out so I can cut this in. Okay. That's why some of y'all haven't grown in your obedience with God, because you just haven't decided who you serve. Oh, Lord. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. Be nice, pastor. I'm trying. Don't worry. I'll put some gravy on the message later. Just calm down. If you like cranberry, No. No, sorry. It's like a weird thing. I don't like it. I don't know. Do your thing. So, say decision. Decision is incision. It's to cut. Precision is I've decided before it happens. It's already cut. I presided. It's like it is presided. It is before I've presided that no matter what happens in 2024, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to be grateful that God is with me. I don't care what hell or high water can come at me, but I am blessed. Come on, somebody. And even though the outside might not reflect what's on the outside will catch up to what's on the inside, because I'm blessed and God's with me. Shout amen. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Tell your neighbor, it's a choice. It's a choice. You got to decide. These are precise. I'm presiding that this is what I live by. It's what's called values. So write this down. This is not in your points, but your value system. Value system. Your value system is what determines the direction of your life. Okay. Dysfunction is simply a broken value system. Generational dysfunction happens in a family because you have a broken value. You value the wrong stuff. Oh, I'm going deep today. We're going all the way for the Thanksgiving turkey stuffing today. Okay. It's a value system. And dysfunction happens generation after generation after generation because you put value on the wrong stuff. You put value on the wrong, you put value on prideful, you put value on the wrong stuff. But then God comes in and says, we're going to bring value on the right stuff. And when God begins to transform your family, that's when your family says, you're different. You're not like, how come you don't do that? You said, because I'm changing my value system. I'm building a generational thing here. Say a blessing. It's a decision. So it's something we have to decide. That God, I'm not going to let myself be dissatisfied. Because the alternative is to be dissatisfied. Now, I'm going to go a little deep here, so just stay with me, okay? Put your floaties on. We're going to the deep end of the pool, all right? You know how to swim, floaties? Okay, cool. All right. Is dissatisfaction is how Satan leads you through disobedience. Okay, here we go. Gratitude and contentment will protect your calling. Because Satan works through getting you to be dissatisfied, then it leads you to disobedience. He'll get you dissatisfied in your marriage. Oh, he'll get you dissatisfied with the way you look. He'll get you dissatisfied with your children. These kids are demon-possessed, Lord, I'm telling you. Everybody else's kids are behaved. Mine are demon-possessed. What? How did that happen? I'll tell you if you really want to know. Just joking. Anyhow. The problem is they're like, no, just joke, I'm just kidding. Help me, Lord. Anyhow, so he gets you dissatisfied. Because if the enemy can get you dissatisfied, he leads you to disobedience to God. And that dissatisfaction is how he works. In fact, I'll say a very strong theological statement here, but every sin can be tied back to dissatisfaction with God. Because you felt God was not good, you try to go to something outside of God. He got you dissatisfied in his will, his ways, so let me try something else outside of you. And it's all based back to contentment, gratitude. My God, I got to learn this thing. Man, I'm telling you, if there's one, some things in the Bible you don't have to learn once. Like salvation, you got to learn it one time. Like one time you got to learn Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm not belittling the work of the cross because that's a whole. But you learn it once and you're saved. You got to learn it once and you're saved. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. You're saved. But gratitude, you got to learn it every day. You got like, this is something that we got to preside. And so we got to get into that place of God. I need to be satisfied. Because Satan works out of dissatisfaction. Now, where did dissatisfaction start? Dissatisfaction did not start on earth. Oh, no. People of God, my beloved brothers and sisters. I said beloved, but if you ever get a DM from me saying beloved, that's not me. Just let you know. For the record. Pastor, is this you? That and that. I don't do DMs, okay? Beloved. Anyway, stop. Okay, focus. Squirrel. Okay. If you come to Freedom House, my mind's all over the place. Just this can go any direction. So, dissatisfaction, watch this now, didn't start on earth. It actually didn't start with Adam and Eve. It started in the garden. No. Dissatisfaction started in heaven. What? We're talking about Pastor Josiah. Okay, let's go. We're going big. Put your floaties on. Here we go. Satan was an archangel. One of the top three angels. Made beautiful. Read Isaiah. Read Ezekiel. Made beautiful. And when he was in the presence of God, he was dissatisfied. And said, I want to be like. And led a rebellion in perfection. What's the point? You can have the perfect environment. You can have what other people dream about. But if you don't realize what God has put you in, you will let dissatisfaction come into your heart. And you will literally deceive yourself thinking that God has not set you up. When God has set you up, he has placed you in a perfect environment to be blessed and do what God has called you to be. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. Yes. But if you had a little ounce of dissatisfaction, you'll literally give up your metaphorical heavenly place. Searching us out. That's deep stuff. Tell your neighbor, say, that's deep. It's dissatisfaction. So Paul says, I have to learn. I pray this helps somebody. I pray you walk out and say, no, I am blessed. I know it may not be much, but God, I'm blessed. Come on, some of you, you're going to look at that car, and even if got the door's still a different color. Come on, somebody. I know this car ain't my dream car, but thank God it took me to church. It's going to take me to work next week. I'm blessed. I ain't going to let no dissatisfaction
caused me to give up on where God's trying to take me. Come on, somebody. You're going to look at it. You're going to say, I know these kids are crazy, but they're my kids. You'll never admit it, but you can say it under your breath. It's all right. They're my kids. You know, I know you don't make lunches like they do on Pinterest, but who cares? Says who? They ate today, praise God. Come on, somebody, amen. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm thankful. God, I'm grateful. God, I'm grateful. God, I may not have everything, but the last thing I'm going to do is let the devil try to make me believe that God isn't good, that I give up my place where God is taking me to go to something else. Tell your neighbor, I'm blessed. So it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. And this is, we have to preside that it is, we are going to live in it so that we don't get deceived. Deceived. Okay. We don't get robbed of our place. I like how Galatians says, he says, who has cut in on your race? Who cut in on your race that caused you to lose your lane, like the track and field? Who cut in on you? What's deceived you? Today's a service. Let's get back into that place and say, God, thank you, Lord. Because how many know God can do a lot with a little? I said, how many know God can do a lot with a little? Come on, I put it back in his hands. Say, I'm going to learn this thing. Okay, but what causes dissatisfaction? I'm going to give you a second point. It's comparison. Write this down, point number two. Comparison kills contentment. Comparison kills contentment. So how does the enemy get us to get out of God's will or get out of his dissatisfaction? But the way he uses dissatisfaction is through this word called comparison. Comparison. And if you want to kill a good thing, compare it to another thing. If you want to kill a good thing, just compare it to something else. Because comparison will always cause you to wrongfully evaluate what is in your life. It is a wrong evaluation to compare it with something else. Because you cannot compare an apple to an orange. You can't say, apple, how come you're not like an orange? Orange, how come you're not like an apple? They're not the same thing. And to compare your life with someone else's life, although you both are humans, God has different callings for you guys. God has a completely, and when we compare it, it will kill your contentment. And the enemy works through comparison. It's comparison. Let's read this verse, 2 Corinthians 10:12. Watch what the Bible says. Here, Paul the Apostle says, we do not dare to classify ourselves. Watch this here. He says, we do not dare to classify ourselves. He says, to compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. The Bible says they are what? They're not wise. When you start comparing yourself with someone else, the Bible says it's not wise. It's not wise to compare yourself. Because he's like, you can't compare. You know, how are you going to compare, you know, to a bird with a fish? You can't. They're different. They have different callings. You have a different calling than the person next to you. To compare yourself to them, it's like you trying to compare. You're called to fly. The fish is called to swim. And you're saying, why can't I swim like that fish? Because you're not like them. You will never swim like they swim, metaphorically speaking, allegorically speaking. You are called to find what you're good at, and you've got to be what God called you to be in your family, in your place. Say amen. Like, we're already here, so let's go there. I'm telling you, some of you are called to pray for the sick, but you're going to wonder why you always battle sickness. And you're going to say, why don't they battle sickness the way I battle sickness? Because you're called to pray for the sick. And you're like, what? And you, if you compare, well, God, I don't want to battle this anymore. God's like, but that's what I've called you to overcome. But if you run from what I've called you to fight, David, you're called to take down that type of Goliath. And that's why they don't face those type of Goliaths, because I have something else for them. And I have something else for you and your family and your kids. Put the dots together. So comparison is never wise. Why is comparison never wise? Number one is because comparison, if you want to write this somewhere in your notes quickly here, but comparison, there are three levels to compare. You can compare yourself with someone that, quote unquote, is doing better than you, okay? I'm saying that, you know, parenthetically, doing better than you, and I'm not saying they are, but just you think they're further than you. But if you compare yourself with someone who's above you, that always leads to depression. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to be like, oh, I suck. I'm so terrible. I'm just not as good as them. You know, and you compare yourself with someone else's ability, someone else's appearance, someone else's this. You feel I stink, you know. And no, you don't. You get depressed. You can compare yourself with someone who's at the same level of you. That leads to complacency. Because you're like, well, I guess I'm doing good because I'm at the same level as them. That leads to complacency. And if you compare yourself with someone who is not doing as good as you, that leads to pride. So it either going to lead to discouragement, complacency, or pride. Comparison is never wise. There's nothing positive that will come out of this, but you'll lose your contentment. You'll either be prideful, you'll either be discouraged, or you'll be complacent. That's why comparison, again, back to etymology, the breakdown of the word, comparison. Compare a sin. Compare is a sin. Compare sin. It's like a sin. Because it's like you're going to miss the mark. You got to be like, no. Listen, that's their lane to run. That's their place to be. That's who God has called them to be. That's what God has given their lot. That's what their, and let me just say this, never even covet someone else's trials. Okay, we're going here. You're like, well, they don't have to go through stuff like I go through stuff. I wish I had their trials. Watch what you pray for. Watch what you pray for. Because, you know, we live in Southern California. People put it on real good. They look so in love. You've been looking at too many Instagram pictures. Way too many. They're like, they look like they're so in love. They're good at putting those pictures out. And you will be enamored with an illusion. Enamored with an illusion. Oh, my Lord. We have a generation enamored with an illusion. It's a mirage. It don't even exist. And you're enamored and comparing with an illusion and a mirage. And you can actually fall in love with something that doesn't even exist. But if you ever said, I ain't going to, some of y'all, for that reason alone, need to unfollow about 7.5 people right now. Because you have been enamored with an illusion. And you're comparing, you're saying, and he bought her flower. And you look over and he's asleep. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God, I felt that one. You look over here. He crashed out. And Lord, you gave me this bum. Come on, somebody. He's not a bum, though. But here's y'all, the devil. And he's out. And come on, somebody. Oh, come. We get it real up in church today. And the devil done got in your ear. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's like, that ain't real. You know, they said, it's my sermon. I go wherever I want. Just joking. All right. Pastoring 15 years. You pass 15 years, you get like a gold star. The Lord says, go ahead. Just joking. All right. Preached over 2,000 sermons. Anyhow, so you compare. They say that, and this one goes even to guys too and girls, but like a lot of these pictures you compare, did you know that a lot of these like models or whatever they said, they don't even look like their pictures. So you're comparing with the whole like, face, I wish I had skin like that. That skin don't even exist. That's called Photoshop. Here, give me your picture. I'll give you skin like that right now. Watch this. Boom, here we go. That don't even exist. That's called a filter, y'all. Y'all know more about that stuff too. Come on, we exposing the devil today. We are exposing the devil today. The devil is a lie. That's called a filter. They put a skinny filter on me. Let's go. I'm just joking. They need to invent one of those. Amen. Just joking. That don't exist. But here you are, all discouraged, all depressed. The devil's trying to tell you this and that. It's an illusion. This, I've learned the secret of being content. I pray you grab this, man. I pray you grab. I've learned. I've made my life. Make your life a student of being content. Like people want to be students of, oh no, I want to be a student. How to grind. And we'll talk about that too. But if you say, I want to be a student of content. I'm going to learn, like Paul the Apostle, who was the apostle of apostles. He was the apostle of the apostles, working signs, wonders, and miracles. And he's like, I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That level of power from God will save your calling. Let me get the piano player up here so I can start wrapping up here. But it'll save your calling from God because God begins to develop that in Jesus' name. Say amen. I have learned to be content, whether he says in need or whether in plenty. God, you're good. Because there are two sides to this, and I do want to make sure that I always balance out a message. I want to leave no stone uncovered. That there is a season to know God is good when you're in need, but there's also a season to know God is good when you're in plenty. And I want to tell you that because many of you, listen, God's going to bless some of you. In fact, God's going to bless all of you. Amen. Say, I'm blessed. Amen. But when you start succeeding, when you actually start prospering, your contentment will be challenged. Who's good? Is God good still, or are you good? Because I have found, and please do not be disrespected by the statement I make, but when you have nothing, you need God. Let's be real talk. Lord, I need you. Yeah, because all your friends left you. Your job laid you off. You're like, I only got these two quarters, Lord. Come on, Lord, hook me up, Lord. But then let you get a little bit of stuff. It's gonna be good. Now you got a business card. Now I got a savings. I gotta retire. I got investments. You know, I got a lot of clients, Lord. I'm a little busy on Sunday now, Lord. You know, when I had nothing, I was out there serving, needed you, Lord. But now I got a little stuff, Lord. Oh, come on! I heard it from the back right there. Now you're Mr. Busy. Oh, well, sorry, Mr. Busy. Miss Busy, so you were grateful that I need you, Lord, when you had nothing, but now you have stuff and God's no longer the source. I'm right, guys, I've been with the Lord this last 2 weeks. And I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to share the word of the year. God gave me the word of the year. Ooh, the word. I'm telling you, 2024, man, the next year says, I've been cooking. And I'm telling you, man, God gave me this word, and I can't wait to share with you, because I know where God is shifting, and even in the words last week, Pastor Robert talked about the revival in a city and the awakening of a family and the prosperity that's going to come, because whenever revival comes, at last awakening, it's coming, guys. The end times, look around here, the end times is coming, but before the end times happens, there's a great revival that's going to take place. We're a part of that together right now. Say amen. We're a part of that. But when God is good, when you start succeeding, you can actually forget about God. Then you get that boo and you backslide with boo. Oh, mercy of God. You were at the altar, but I need my boo. Boo showed up. Now you're at, hello, somebody. And now you backslide with boo. And now it's like, what happened? I need you, Lord. Yeah, but how come you're not serving anymore? You were serving trying to get her. Now you ain't serving with her. Hallelujah. Man, I'm on one today. I need to go have some gravy. Give me some cheesecake up here or something like that. Yeah? Make more sweet. God has blessed some of you. He has blessed some of you. He has been good to you. Man. You know, God has been, and God, he was good when I had nothing, and he's still good when I have something. Lest you forget that it was the Lord who gave you the ability. Lest you forget that if it had not been for him, you wouldn't have what you have. God, you're good while I eat this steak. God, you're good while I got that, you closed that multi-million-dollar deal. God, you're good. You're my source. You're my source. My job is not my source. My talents are not my source. Your good looks are not your source. Your way you talk, it's not your source. Your company is not your source. Your intelligence is not your source. Your ability to close deals is not your source. Your schedule is not your source. Your discipline is not your source. Your health is not your source. God, you're my source. If it had not been for you, I wouldn't have the business I have. I wouldn't have the clientele I have. If it's not for you, Lord, you're good. So I honor you when I have stuff. God, I honor you. This last couple of years, for as many of you know, I also do investments and real estate, and I some of the most prosperous years for me personally and my wife and I in our business. Amen. Thank you for the class. Appreciate it. Thank you. The first service didn't clap. I'm like, you guys are haters, man. Come on, you're a bunch of haters. Pray for Freedom House Church, you know what I mean? See how some people are? They can't rejoice when you prosper. It's like, you know, like you get a new car, like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. It's like, what the heck? People love to see you put God first, but he says they'll add all things. But when he adds all things, and people start being haters, like, did you drink some hatery this morning or something? Hateritis, what's going on here, bro, you know? I don't know why some Christians are that way. Like, they think God's going to run out of blessings. Like, they get blessed, and they're like, oh, Lord's going to run out of blessings. Oh, you know, oh, that's nice. I've just been praying for 20 years, but that's cool. Congratulations. Tell your neighbor, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Don't be that. Like, God's not running out of blessings, y'all. I said, God's not running out of blessings, y'all. God has more. He's the more than enough God. He's an abundant God. You shall lack nothing. He'll open the windows of heaven. He'll bless you. Come on, somebody. He has unlimited provision. So be the person that says, in fact, I'm a firm believer, God will bless someone else with something you want to see your reaction. So let me see if you're a kingdom person or you're just trying to build your little palace. Yeah? God blesses kingdom people. But man, I'll tell you what, God is good. Yeah, man, I've seen God now return seeds that we've sown, and it's been one of the greatest. But God, you're so good. God, how can I think that it was these hands that did anything? How dare I insult God that it was these hands that did anything? How dare I insult the sovereignty of God that it was my mind that thought of it all? Lest the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Thanksgiving, if you've had an incredible year this year, is also about God. It was you that did it. And you're going to do it again next year. And when someone is grateful, God says, now that's the kind of child I can bless. Come on, somebody. That's my child. Stand to your feet. Let's worship him. God, we love you.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.